Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel. The Jewish race was founded in order that one people on earth be faithful to God. Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish race and religion, was called by God from the idolatrous city of Ur. Ur is the place where idolatry was first born, and it was the place in which human beings worshiped fire. Now, just as a footnote to that, in Assisi last January, John Paul II invited idolaters of fire to take part in the multi-religious observance in Assisi and actually let them go outside by exception in order to start their fire and worship their fire. But Abraham was called out of that. And he was given many promises and favors, and among those promises, and the principal of them, was that his offspring would be multiplied like the stars of the heavens and like the sands of the shore. But he had to prove his faith and his submission to the will of God by a terrifying act, which was the sacrifice of his son Isaac. Isaac had been given to him as a fulfillment of the promise that he would have offspring. And that offspring, by the way, refers to the church, because the church was multiplied to many hundreds of millions of people in all of the lands of the earth. And not the Jewish race, but the church was multiplied, and therefore the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham is in the Catholic Church. That's a very important point. But this promise was at the cost of a great test, and that was the sacrifice of his son Isaac. Isaac was from the sterile womb of Sarah, and therefore was a child of miracle. And he would be the one that would carry on the seed of Abraham, and through whom the promises would be fulfilled. But Abraham was told to take this child, and he was 33 at the time, or in his early 30s at the time, this child that was his only child from his beloved Sarah, and whom he had raised, and who was the apple of his eye, to take him to the top of a mountain, and there to slit his throat, and then burn him. And this test proved two things in Abraham: his faith in God, that somehow God would still be faithful to his promises, even though the seed, Isaac, was destroyed. God would still be faithful to his promises to him, Abraham. And secondly, it proved the submission of Abraham to the will of God, that he loved God above all things, including that one thing that was so important to him, his only son from Sarah. And upon this rock foundation was built the faith of Judaism, and ultimately the faith of the Catholic Church. And therefore the Jews were meant to have this same faith of Abraham in the promises, and also this submission to the will of God by the observance of the law. And if they would be faithful in this way, by their piety and by their morality, they would automatically be prepared for the reception of the Messiah, and they would bring the Messiah to the whole world by their preaching and example. This was the idea. And so we see at the time of the coming of Christ, faithful Jews. We see Simeon, who is moved by the Holy Ghost to proceed to the temple where Our Lady and Saint Joseph are arriving with the Christ child. And he marvels under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and says all of these prophetic things that we see in the gospel today. We see Anna, a pious woman who did not leave the temple, and how she marveled and was delighted to see the Christ child, and many others in Israel who were truly pious and faithful to the law. But there would be Jews who would be unfaithful, and against these God sent many punishments in the Old Testament, and prophets to give them warning. And so in every book, nearly, of the whole Old Testament, we see this struggle between God's demands upon the Jews and the Jews' infidelity to him, their repentance and then their subsequent infidelity, and so forth, until finally Christ would send his son. Excuse me, God would send his only begotten son. And this sending of his only begotten son would be the final act for the Jews. No more prophets could be sent. The promises of Abraham are fulfilled in Christ. Hence, the faithful Jews, like Abraham, will rejoice in him and will receive him. Simeon and Anna are examples of these faithful Jews. And so the unfaithful Jews will contradict him, will reject him, and so our Lord will be, according to the prophecy of Simeon, the cause of the rise of the Jews that believe, and the occasion of the fall of the Jews who do not believe. That is, their definitive fall. No more prophets will be sent. And after they have a grace period between 33 AD and 70 AD in which to accept the Messiah, and many did in that time, after that grace period is through, in 70 AD, their divine vocation will be stripped from them. The temple will be destroyed, and they will no longer be a legitimate religion. And our Lord in the Gospel, if you read the Gospel carefully, repeatedly warns the Jews that this is their last chance. This is it for you. He gives them many parables, indicating that because they are unfaithful, the vocation will be taken away from them and given to the Gentiles. It is one of the principal themes of the Holy Gospel, this final appeal of God to his people whom he sanctified in the Old Testament. And God deals in the same way with the soul. The soul at baptism is given faith and all of the supernatural grace and virtues necessary for salvation. If you are faithful to the grace of baptism, you will go to heaven. You will preserve that vessel of sanctifying grace, and you will go to heaven. Just as if the Jews were faithful to the faith and obedience of Abraham, they would have had their salvation, their rise, their resurrection in Christ. But if, on the other hand, you sin, then you are in the condition of the unfaithful Jews. That is, someone who ought to be saved, who ought to go to heaven, but who will not for his own sin. Now, Catholics, there are many Catholics who fall into sin, but who are pious and they repent quickly. They confess quickly, and they are restored to the state of sanctifying grace. And so most of their lives are spent in the state of sanctifying grace, despite an occasional fall. But there are other Catholics who become hardened in sin, like the unfaithful Jews, and despite many warnings, they persevere in this sin. This love of sin often leads them to deny their faith, as it did in the case of the unfaithful Jews. And so Christ is the resurrection to the just soul, but he is the occasion of the condemnation of the sinner. Because there will come a point, too, when the soul will no longer have an out, when the confessional will no longer be there for him, or even the possibility to cry out to God for forgiveness. That will be taken from him, and just as Jerusalem was destroyed, so the sinful soul will be condemned to hell definitively. The contradiction of Christ, that he is the occasion of contradiction between the just and the evil, it proves the fidelity of the just and it accuses the wicked. And in this sense, it is fruitful. This contradiction is fruitful. It divides the sheep and the goats. It says that out of many hearts, thoughts may be revealed. Christ is a contradiction in order that out of many hearts, thoughts may be revealed. This means that both the good and the evil dispositions of men will be revealed as a result of Christ's coming. They will be moved either to piety and righteousness or to impiety and godlessness. And we see, both in the history of the church and in the history of our own souls, that the adversity that is given as a result of the impious, the sinner, the evil, is a source to us of the exercise of virtue. The teaching of the church is occasioned by the wickedness of heretics. And the great treasure of truth that we have from the teaching of the Catholic Church is caused by the occasion of heretics, that they force the church, in a sense, to sing the praises of God in her holy councils and in the pronouncements of popes. So also the soul, when it is persecuted, when it goes through adversity, when enemies, such as the devil, and those who are in league with the devil, persecute it. When the soul goes through adversity, virtue is exercised, and the soul merits and achieves a higher place in heaven. Let the coming of Christ, therefore, be the occasion of your rise, your resurrection, and not your fall, by believing in his truth and by a submissive obedience to the commandments of the moral law. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.